On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, some families of the victims of those killed on Bloody Sunday say they'll take a judicial review after the decision not to bring any further prosecutions against British soldiers. The incidence rate of COVID-19 has yet again jumped in the Derry City and Strabane District Council area. Gardaí and Milford are appealing for information regarding the whereabouts of a 27-year-old man missing since last week. And the mayor of the Letterkenny Municipal District says the extent of disruption likely to be caused by the proposed 10T road developments is only now beginning to emerge. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the North Public Prosecution Service has upheld a decision not to prosecute 15 soldiers in connection with Bloody Sunday. 13 people were killed in Derry when British soldiers opened fire on a civil rights march in the city in 1972. The families of some of those killed says it's deeply disappointing and will consider a judicial review. Sinead Spain reports.
The Public Prosecution Service in the North was asked to review its decision to bring charges against just one person, Soldier F, by the families of some of the victims. They asked the PPS to consider charges against a further 15 members of the British Army arising from the events of Bloody Sunday in 1972. 13 people were killed and many more were injured when British soldiers opened fire on an anti-internment rally in the city. Following a review, the PPS has found there is not enough evidence against the 15 to provide a reasonable prospect of conviction. Letters have been sent to the families of the victims and to the 15 suspects this morning, informing them that the test for prosecution is not met on evidential grounds. The case against Soldier F will continue to proceed. He's charged with 2 counts of murder and 5 of attempted murder. In its judgment today, the PPS has also asked for no reporting, commentary or sharing of information online from other parties which could in any way prejudice these proceedings.
Well, Kate Nash, whose brother William died on Bloody Sunday, says she'll fight today's decision strenuously.
The soldier who killed my brother, or who is believed to have killed my brother, is not going to be prosecuted. We're going to challenge this. In fact, I already have. And we think that they didn't approach it right. They didn't consider joint enterprise.
A search operation is currently ongoing in the Hornhead area of Dunfanaghy. Malinhead Coast Guard has confirmed that they were first alerted this afternoon and are working with Gardaí. No further details are currently known. Meanwhile, Gardaí and Milford are appealing for information regarding the whereabouts of a 27-year-old man missing since last week. Cian Langlin has been reported missing from the Fulcara area. Trish Lafferty has more.
Cian was last seen at Upper Main Street, Letterkenny, around lunchtime last Thursday, September 24th. He's said to speak with an English accent, is 5'8" tall and of medium build. He has sandy coloured hair that was recently cut and he's clean shaven. The 27-year-old is believed to be wearing blue jeans, a white t-shirt and black boots on one of the last occasions that he was seen. If anyone has any information in relation to the whereabouts of Cian, Gardaí are urging them to please contact Milford Gardaí on 074 915 3060.
The incidence rate of COVID-19 has jumped yet again in the Derry City and Strabane District Council area. Northern Ireland has registered a record number of COVID-19 cases today. 320 people have tested positive in the past 24 hours, but there are no more deaths. The rate of infection in Derry and Strabane is now 266.1 per 100,000, with 401 positive cases of the virus confirmed there during the 7-day period from September the 22nd to the 28th. A curfew of 11 p.m. is being brought in for the hospitality sector across the whole of the north to try to reduce rates of coronavirus. It will come into force tomorrow night at pubs, bars, restaurants, cafes, hotels and guest house bars. The impact of COVID on the Irish economy this year is expected to be less severe than previously thought. The Department of Finance says GDP will likely fall by 2.5% in 2020 compared to the last forecast of a 10% hit. That's mainly due to a surge in exports from the pharmaceutical sector. The unemployment rate is expected to be 16% at the end of this year, falling to 10% in 2021. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says the forecasts are based on two key assumptions.
First, that a widespread vaccination for COVID-19 will not be available before the end of next year. And second, that there is a disorderly end to the transition period between the EU and the UK at the end of this year.
The HSE says extra testing capacity for COVID-19 will be needed if the number of cases keeps rising. The executive says 100,000 tests can be completed in a week. The highest number done so far is 90,000. CEO Paul Reid says testing isn't a coat of armour for society when it comes to tackling the virus. But he told the Oireachtas COVID committee more capacity will be built up if needed.
If we keep running the way the virus is running at the minute, we will need some more extra capacity in our labs. And that's a process that we're continuously looking at and engaging on. And we will increase our capacity in our labs should the virus continue to perform the way it is.
The Supreme Court is considering a report into Seamus Wolfe's attendance at a controversial Oireachtas Golf Society dinner in August. A report into the issue has been undertaken by former Chief Justice Susan Denham. In a statement, the Supreme Court confirms it has received the completed document and a copy has been made available to Justice Wolfe. Agriculture Minister Dara Cleary and EU Trade Commissioner Phil Hogan both resigned after the merge they were at the golf dinner, which was in breach of government guidelines. An emergency meeting has taken place between Galway City Council, Gardaí, colleges and students after large crowds congregated near Spanish Art last night. In a joint statement, they said what happened last night was completely unacceptable and will all work to ensure it doesn't occur again. The group said it will meet again later in the week if needed. Fianna Fáil Senator in the city, Ollie Crow, believes the army should be deployed to help Gardaí ensure COVID-19 guidelines are followed.
I was in touch with the Gardaí on Sunday night and in touch with them again last night. And look, they're under huge pressure and they need, as I alluded to earlier, it wasn't just the Spanish Arch last night, it was Shop Street, it was, you know, house parties, student accommodation, and they need more resources. And whether that is additional resources deployed by the Department of Justice or whether it's resources in relation to the Army, they certainly need to be strengthened.
The mayor of the Letterkenny Municipal District says the extent of disruption likely to be caused by the proposed 10T road developments is only now beginning to emerge. Councillor Donal Coyle was speaking after members of Donegal County Council began discussions on a variation of the county development plan, which could see a decision in March of next year to make necessary changes to the plan in order to facilitate the construction of the preferred routes. Councillor Coyle told Highland Radio News there's a lot of discussion yet to be had.
What we're asked today was to consider progress on the variation of the county development plan for the preferred route corridor. It's not the final decision yet on the variation of the county development plan. That will be coming further down the road. But what I raised today was in relation to the many link roads and service roads, as they're called, and the number of people who were not aware that they were going to be affected at all by the 10T. And it's only in the last week or fortnight that they've discovered that because of these link roads or service roads that they are being discommoded in many ways, and in particular I refer to the fact that when I asked a question in the July meeting about the convoy road, I was told then that there was no proposal to go out the convoy road. Now there's a new road being made in regards from the convoy road onto the roundabout, the same on the Cullen Road, and many people are being discommoded.
So from your point of view, then a lot of discussion to take place before there can be agreement on this.
Oh, yes.
A lot of ground still to cover.
There certainly is, like, you know, and I think myself, you know, that in fairness, the officials that we've been dealing with haven't been just totally upfront with us as elected members to let us know what exactly was happening.
The rules about politicians becoming lobbyists are set to be reviewed after the resignation of Senator Michael Darcy. He's taken up a job representing investment funds just 3 months after being a minister in the Department of Finance. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The body which is supposed to regulate politicians in office, SIPO's, confirmed it doesn't have any enforcement powers for breaches of its rules in relation to lobbying in this case. A number of TDs had asked it to look into Michael Darcy's move to work for an investment fund lobby group just months after he was Minister of State in the Department of Finance. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says the Cabinet has decided to review SIPO's powers.
I believe there should be an effective cooling off period, and I'm not happy or in any way comfortable with people taking up position who have been in office, particularly in the area that they had jurisdiction over or responsibility for.
In the Dáil, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald says it's another example of one rule for politicians and one for everyone else.
This is the second former minister at the Department of Finance to go through the revolving door from government into the world of high finance.
Michael Darcy has made contact with SIPO today to discuss the matter, though the Taoiseach and his party leader Leo Varadkar has said he wishes he'd done that before taking the job in the first place. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Gardaí say they are particularly keen to locate a digger stolen in Strabane last week and driven across the border a short time later, as diggers taken in previous thefts have been used in ATM robberies. Cross-border investigations are continuing to locate the Hatchie 135, which is orange and dark red in colour. Sergeant Una Walsh says they are liaising with the PSNI.
Our colleagues in the PSNI, Greg, are looking for assistance in this matter. A theft of an orange, dark red Hitachi 135 digger reported stolen to the PSNI in Strabane last Wednesday evening, the 23rd of September. It's described as probably the last border crime before the level 3 restrictions, and two men are known to have pulled off a daring robbery by stealing the digger from a yard in Strabane and loading it onto a red low loader attached to a red Massey Ferguson, and it crossed the border at Lifford at approximately 7:10 p.m. It's obvious that somebody would have seen this crossing the border.
Yeah, I mean, a dark orange red digger on a red trailer behind a red Massey Ferguson, you know, I mean, that's pretty distinctive, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, and obviously there are links with, you know, obvious links with diggers, as you say, in relation to these ATM thefts, and it is quite concerning. So the appeal information, the PSNI, I know you have a lot of listeners across the border, Greg, so the PSNI have requested maybe listeners across the border, if they've seen anything suspicious or saw the digger, to contact them at 101. And again, in relation to anybody maybe on our side, contact the Gardaí 11 Letterkenny 07491 67100.
Meanwhile, substantial damage has been caused to a restaurant in Letterkenny after it was broken into in the early hours of yesterday morning. Between 1:30 and 1:40 a.m., entry was gained to the premises on Lower Main Street. Damage was caused to the interior and a sum of cash was stolen from the till. Sergeant Walsh is appealing for information.
At approximately 1:30 to 1:40 a.m., the alarm at the premise had been activated and entry by the protruders was gained to the premises by smashing glass in the side door of the building. Substantial damage was caused to property, glassware, etc. on shelves when the door was forced open. And unfortunately, a sum of cash was taken from the cash register during the course of the burglary. We have one man seen on CCTV footage within the premises of poor enough quality at this stage. But again, we're appealing for anyone who was in the area of Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, Sunday night, Monday morning, the 28th of September, around the time, who may have observed anything suspicious, maybe somebody on foot or somebody in car, to contact the Gardaí at Letterkenny, or again, if you're in the area at the time and you have dash cam footage on your car, your taxi or whatever, get in touch with us at 07491 67100.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 5:15, it's time now for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. And Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny says he's sure Seamus Coleman and Matt Doherty can play in the same team. Both are included in Kenny's 25-man squad for next week's Euro 2020 playoff with Slovakia. Also among the panel is Shamrock Rovers midfielder Jack Byrne. Despite Doherty starting both of Kenny's games in charge so far, he feels that both Coleman and Doherty can coexist.
Seamus has been a great captain for Ireland and great player, and obviously started the season well. Matt finished the season brilliantly with Wolves, you know, brilliantly. scored quite a number of goals, involved in goals every week, creating a, the last games for us, he was in pre-season mode. He's coming back in a bit, and I thought his best game probably for Tottenham was last weekend, actually. He looked really back to himself and did very well, so that bodes well.
Elsewhere, cross-channel, tonight Jose Mourinho comes up against one of his former employers in the Carabao Cup as Spurs side entertain Chelsea in the fourth round with a kick-off time of 7.45. Here at home, it's sixth place, seventh in the SSE Airtricity Premier Division when Sligo Rovers there at home to Derry City. Declan Devine has reported a clean bill of health as his side travels to the showgrounds for a rearranged league fixture. Kick-offs at 7.45. The Candy Stripes were without Ali Gilchrist, Gerardo Bruna and Stephen Mallon for Friday night's game at Dalymount, but the trio were all involved in Monday's training session. The manager insisted they had to put the horrors of that stoppage time defeat to Bohemians behind them. Looking ahead to another tough Northwest derby, Devine says they have to see games out better.
You know, we've had our fair share of setbacks this year, and ultimately, we've been ahead in three games, 1-1-0, and we've lost 2-1, and it's not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. It's not what we're about. It's not the way that we want to be serving that up. So the time for learning is running out. We've got to make sure now that we have learned and we have done it right, and that it doesn't happen again, because, you know, as I say, that there's 18 game season, but there's still a third of the season to be played, and whatever way you look at it, it still, you know, feels as if we've played so many games, but we haven't. We've only played 12 games. And as I say, we have a third of the season to go, and every one of those six games is going to be critical in terms of where we want to get to.
Obviously, Sligo, the first game back at the start was disappointing, but they haven't sort of put the trees up in the last couple of weeks. They've been a wee dip in form too.
Well, look, we can only take care of ourselves, but at the same time, you know, we've got to make sure that we perform. Sligo have players that are more than capable of hurting us. You know, you look through their team with Junior and Colley and Coughlin, just to name three alone. You know, De Vries has been a good signing for them. So they've players there that can really hurt us. And as I say, it's a Northwest derby. You're going on the under their backyard, and it's going to be very tough. There's no doubt about it. If, you know, anybody thinks that this league is easy this year, then they need to have a look at it, because there's so much unpredictability, and what we've got to make sure is that that unpredictability is taken out of our hands and that we perform to our levels, and if we do that, then I'm confident we can get a result.
Declan Devine there. Elsewhere in Gaelic games, the Donegal CCC confirmed this weekend's championship fixtures. In the Michael Murphy Senior Hurling Final on Saturday at the O'Donnell Park, Setanta play St Dunan's at 4 o'clock. While in the Junior A Championship Final, also in O'Donnell Park, Karen Donna, they play Dunlow. That one's at 1:30. In football, the Intermediate A Championship Relegation Final's on Sunday in Navealton. Navealton, they play Naef Columbkill at 1 o'clock. And the Junior A Championship Final is also on Sunday. Convoy, they play Downings at 4:30. The venue there is yet to be confirmed. In horse racing today in Cork, there was another winner for Oisin Orr. He was on board High Time U1 at 17-2 for Dermot Well today, ahead of Prisoner's Dilemma. That was in the Thank You for All the Frontline Workers Handicap. Moving on to rugby, the Toyota Cheetahs have confirmed they won't be part of the Pro 14's expansion to 16 teams. They say Super Rugby quartet of the Bulls, Stormers, Sharks and Lions will join the competition instead. Along with the Southern Kings, the Cheetahs joined the then Pro 12 in 2017. Last month, the Southern Kings, they folded, but the Cheetahs are still penciled in to take part in this season's Pro 14 in the new year. And Will Addison, he has been ruled out for several months after undergoing further back surgery. The versatile Ulster back initially sustained the problem in January of last year, going under the knife 3 months later. His province say Addison has suffered a setback in his rehabilitation, which required another operation. Meanwhile, 600 supporters will be allowed into their Ulster's Guinness Pro 14 season opener with Benetton this Friday night. The decision to allow a limited attendance at Kingspan Stadium was reached following talks with Belfast City Council and IRFU. It'll form part of the trial for increased return of fans at sporting events in Northern Ireland. And finally, for this evening in tennis, Novak Djokovic needed just 98 minutes to seal a place in the French Open second round. The men's top seed defeated Sweden's Mikael Emmer 6-love, 6-2, 6-3. Meanwhile, women's fourth seed Sofia Kenin needed three sets to beat world number 125 Ludmila Samsonova. And second seed Karolina Pliskova needed three sets to reach the second round, beating Egyptian qualifier Maya Sharif. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, Gardaí say they have not ruled out a caravan fire in Mobile was started maliciously. At around 4 a.m. on Saturday, September the 23rd, emergency services were alerted to the fire in the Ardnagula Dumf area. The caravan was vacant at the time of the blaze. Anyone with any information is asked to contact Gardaí in Buncrana. Meanwhile, Gardaí and Letterkenny are investigating an incident of criminal damage that occurred in the Flax Fields area of Convoy. A resident had parked their car outside their home between 3 p.m. on Friday, September the 25th and 3 p.m. the following afternoon. However, upon returning to the vehicle, the car owner realised that the rear driver's side window had been smashed. Gardaí are appealing to anyone in the area who may have any information to contact them. A Donegal TD is urging the government to listen to the voice of fishing communities around the coast ahead of a key debate tonight. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, Sinn Féin's fisheries spokesperson, is moving a private member's bill this evening to annul a statutory instrument recently signed by Taoiseach Micheál Martin that introduced a penalty point system for Ireland's offshore fishing fleet. The government argues that Supreme Court concerns regarding the provision have been addressed, but Deputy McLaughlin says the provision is fundamentally unfair. He says in the absence of agreement, he has no choice but to move the bill.
Fishermen right across the coast and Donegal, right down to Cork and Kerry and right round up to Louth, were shocked when they seen that the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, signed this legislation that he himself had voted against 2 years ago. Then Fianna Fáil spokesperson on fisheries, Patrick O'Gallagher, had put forward a motion. For the first time in the history of the state, the Dáil voted down what's called a statutory instrument. And that same statutory instrument that brings an unfair and unjust penalty point system has now been passed by the government. We're trying to get rid of it today.
And indeed, fishermen have agreed that some sort of system needs to be put in place, but not this one, which you've described as unfair and unjust.
Oh, indeed. The best way I can describe it is, it's like if somebody was stopped by a guard and issued with penalty points and they went to court, were found innocent, and still those penalty points were applied. That's what's happening to fishermen. They're actually also using a threshold, which is a balance of probabilities. Now, nowhere in our constitution is that acceptable under law. Usually it's beyond a reasonable doubt. We all understand that, beyond a reasonable doubt. So fishermen are being treated like second-class citizens here. They've won their case in the Supreme Court on a number of occasions, and they're going to challenge us again in the courts. But they shouldn't have to. Not at a time that under deep stress, we're worrying about the implications of Brexit and all that lays in front of them. So the government need to go back to the drawing board, listen to our fishermen, and do what's right by them.
Weather now, cloudy for the rest of today with outbreaks of rain, wet and windy overnight with outbreaks of rain also. The rain will be heavy at times, leading to spot flooding, lows of 9 to 11 degrees. A yellow rainfall warning is in place for Donegal. Met Éireann say spells of heavy rain will bring 25 to 40 millimetres of rain with the risk of localised flooding. The warning remains in place until 12 noon tomorrow. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the North Public Prosecution Service has upheld a decision not to prosecute 15 soldiers in connection with Bloody Sunday. Kate Nash, whose brother William died on Bloody Sunday, says she'll fight today's decision strenuously. A search operation is currently ongoing in the Hornhead area of Dunfanaghy. Manhead Coast Guard has confirmed that they were first tasked to the scene this afternoon and are working with Gardaí. Meanwhile, Gardaí and Milford are appealing for information regarding the whereabouts of a 27-year-old man missing since last week. Cian Langellan has been reported missing from the Falkara area. And the incidence rate of COVID-19 has yet again jumped in the Derry City and Strabane District Council area. It comes as Northern Ireland registered a record number of COVID-19 cases today. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, September the 29th. The death has taken place of Mona McCarran, Nate Kearney, 75 Laurel Drive, Strabane, and formerly of Ergana, Oma. Removal from Quigley's Funeral Home, Strabane, tomorrow evening at 20 past 6 to St Mary's Church, Melmount. Requiem Mass on Thursday at 12 noon, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, melmountparish.com/webtv.html. The death has occurred of Stephanie McVeigh to the Glebe Letterkenny and formerly of Church Lane Letterkenny. Stephanie's remains are reposing at her late home. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock can be viewed on the Church of the Irish Martyrs Facebook page. Family flowers only, donations if desired to St Vincent de Paul Society, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Elizabeth O'Neill, née Duncan, 13 Woodend Road, Strabane. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Clonchore at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the Sacred Heart Cemetery, Derry Road. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Michael McGinley, Faymore, Creeslaw. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creeslaw, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in Doe Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on mcmmedia.tv/camera/ St Michael's Church, Creeslaw. Family flowers only, donations if desired to ICU, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or James Hargan, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Patsy Martin, 41 Ardnalee Park, Strabane. Funeral leaving his home on Thursday morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Western Health and Social Care Trust, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, melmountparish.com/webtv.